Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bottled in China. I'm your host, Emily Seckenborn, and today we're going to be talking about craft beer produced in Taiwan. This is the podcast where we talk about beer, wine, spirits, food, and everything happening out here in Asia. Today, I'm joined by Peter Huang, who's the managing partner at Taihu Brewing, one of the hippest and hottest breweries out here in Taiwan. We're going to talk about the creative aspects of all their beer. They want to become the gateway to great beer coming from Taiwan. And they want to share how amazing some of the craft beer scene is here in Taiwan with the rest of the world. We're also going to talk about great food and beer pairing. And also, we're going to see what exactly they've been up to in the last 3 years of them starting up Taihu Brewing. Super excited to get this podcast going. First, I do want to take the time to thank Future Ward for having us here and also for letting us do our podcast out here in Taiwan. Super excited, and let's get started. Welcome to one more episode of Bottled in China. Thank you so much for coming. Today, I am joined with Peter Huang from Taihu Brewing. So thanks so much for joining.
It is a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about beer, because you guys are probably the hippest place to go to. You have some of the best beer. And I've been in Taiwan for 1 week for Chinese New Year, and I've had your beer 4 times.
Well, thank you.
So that's pretty good. I mean, that means I've been there. And I've also went to right in front of Taipei 101. You guys have like a pop-up shop.
We do. Are you talking about the Airstream?
No, it's the Commune or something.
Yes, that would be it. Yeah.
And it was so good. We were outside. Great. We had lobster rolls along with your goes, your champi goes, mm-hmm. and it was just so good. We had probably the best day because of your beer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. We'll make sure our
brewmaster is. So let's tell everybody that you guys do. Tell us about the beer that you guys make and the whole concept behind Taihu Brewing.
Oh, that's a hefty question. So Taihu Brewing is obviously a craft brewery. We founded this company on the premise that we wanted to bring really, really great beer to Asia. There are a bunch of people that are doing really good beer here, and we wanted to become a part of that movement. The industry is still very young, so when we were beginning the brewery, we had to do a lot in the industry besides just brewing. Right? So not only is the permitting process in Taiwan very lengthy, the assembly of the team, the design of the brewery itself takes quite a long time. So we started 3.5 years ago in 2013. And since then, we also founded and began importing and distributing beers, mm-hmm. and then doing retail as well. So for us, we want to make sure that our beer gets to the consumer in the best possible way, right? So we want to control quality all along the downstream, right? So from production to distribution to retail, and make sure that at retail, the customer has a great experience with the beer itself. So we have highly trained staff, highly knowledgeable staff, people that really care about the product delivering it to you. We wanted to kind of begin to sculpt the landscape of craft beer in Taiwan.
And so are you guys available out of Taiwan, or are you still focused in Taiwan?
We are available outside of Taiwan at festivals.
What type of festivals can we find you at?
We will be this year, we'll be in Hong Kong, Shanghai, mm-hmm. Beijing, 2 or 3 times. We'll be in Seoul, be in Japan. And then later this year, we will be on a distribution basis in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Or sorry, in Shanghai. We're opening our office in Shanghai later this year.
Now, volume-wise, what are you guys at right now?
Oh, our volume's tiny. Very, very small.
So still craft?
Still very craft. Very craft.
And what's the best-selling beer? Like, what are you guys really famous for out here in Taiwan?
Oh, so we do a couple of interesting takes on IPAs.
Okay.
I'd say that our best-selling beer is our Kumquat Kolsch. It's a little bit of a departure from your traditional craft beer. We went with a classic German style right out of Cologne and brought a local ingredient into the mix.
Okay.
So part of our narrative, our brand narrative, is to be culturally Taiwanese and to incorporate elements of Taiwanese culture into the product that we're building. Kumquat Kolsch has been hugely popular. Mm-hmm. It's not too sweet, not too bitter, not too sour. It's a wonderfully balanced beer, very drinkable, crushable, as we say in the industry. And that has been an excellent mover for us. But in terms of beers that have seen a wide acceptance and are much more in line with the current craft trends of IPA, very hop aroma forward, we have a New England style IPA.
Okay.
So it's a little bit hazy, very, very juicy. It's very aromatic and tropical.
And so is that something that you're seeing is kind of flying off all year round, or is that a little bit more seasonal? Like you see that in summer, kind of like warmer weather?
That's all year round. We'll be that'll be one of the main core beers for sure.
And now when I went to Tahoe, you guys have like 20 taps. Is that correct?
So we currently have 5 retail locations, and each retail location has about 20 taps each with a mix of CO2 and nitro.
And from those 20 taps, do you guys always rotate, or are there like, let's say 10 of your beers are always there and then you always try something new? Or how much of that is experimental and how much of that is really like your core product?
Constantly rotating. So
everything.
Everything is constantly rotating, yeah.
That's crazy.
Again, because this market's so young, yep. A big part of it is educating the consumer, mm-hmm. and enabling the consumer to try a bunch of styles that they don't normally have access to. So a lot of what we do is cycle styles, cycle flavors, rotate through different ingredients, through different suppliers, through a huge range of flavors, right? So we'll go from sours to barrel aged to traditional German lagers. We're all over the map.
And what have you seen that's kind of your most beer, Taiwanese inspired beer that you've created so far?
So we created a porter series. There's two porters paired together, and one was using black sesame. And the other was using, yeah, that was really cool.
Okay, I'm trying to figure that taste out, because I know that once you add, let's say, oatmeal or you add rye, it's going to change the flavor, also the head of the beer. Mm-hmm. But how does sesame, black sesame, actually affect the beer?
In a number of ways, depending, so it's very complex depending on when you add it to the brewing process. Sesame seeds have obviously a lot of high oil content, right?
Yeah.
High fat content.
Yeah.
And the fat content will interfere with head retention. So brewing a product with nuts, brewing a beer with nuts can be very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to incorporate as much of the flavor as possible without extracting too much of the oil into the beer. So we only use, we don't use any extracts, flavor, additives, everything's, we add real
natural.
100%, we crush the sesame seeds, throw them in there.
So like, what was the taste then? Because I'm just like, my idea right now is kind of like, you know, those sesame buns that you pick up, and they have that like kind of nuttiness and, you know, that interesting, obviously very characteristic flavor. But is that what you get in the beer, or does it change when you're actually brewing? Does it change the character of the beer?
It definitely changes the character of the beer, especially if you add it while fermentation's ongoing. So
okay.
There's this thing called biotransformations that happen,
yeah.
which is when the yeast are still active, they process a lot of the volatile organic compounds that's in the sesame seed, and it slightly adjusts it.
Okay.
So it's as though the beer, have you ever had tangyuan? They're those gelatinous rice balls that have sesame seed stuffings.
Yeah. And is it usually, I don't know if this is right, but is it usually green and it's like kind of bigger?
It can be.
And like, cause I've seen that in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. I probably haven't tasted the ones here in Taipei though.
They're a pretty popular traditional dessert. They're these little gelatinous rice balls. They're normally in a soup. And
oh, yeah, okay.
And
then you can add baijiu to the soup,
yes,
no?
Exactly.
Okay, I
so
actually like
ones
that one.
Are made
I've had
baijiu.
That before during lunch, and I was like, this is something I should do a little bit more often. But do you think that can pair with the beer or no?
I actually think it pairs really well with the beer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta go try that.
That's a super fun part of being in craft beer in Asia. Their palate breadth is enormous. Right?
Yeah.
And there's so many opportunities to have unique and individual and kind of groundbreaking pairings with Asian cuisine, specifically Chinese cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun to dabble in all these different spaces.
Okay, so you sound like a foodie. You also know what you're talking about. So I want to know a little bit more about you. What's your food background? What's your beer background? Like, I need to get into this because you're definitely not just, you know, the managing partner. You know so much about this. So tell me about your background.
Oh, goodness.
Where do I start?
No, it's how do I spin this as positively as possible? So I'm actually, I come from a hellish background, finance.
Okay.
Yeah. That was where I originally started, kind of like Alex, actually.
Yeah.
Alex from Baoism. And was in that industry, decided that wasn't something that I wanted to continue to pursue with my life path.
Mm.
And since then, almost all of my brewing knowledge has out of just apprenticing with people that are far more knowledgeable than me in the space. When it comes to food, I have the wonderful advantage of having great friends like Alex that are hyper knowledgeable in these spaces and well-trained. Of our 5 partners at Taihu, one is a classically trained French chef.
Okay.
Who has worked in, you know, a ton of Michelin star restaurants across Europe. So he's a constant source of inspiration. And another one is also trained at Cordon Bleu in the States. So there is, on the food side, I kind of absorb what I can from them.
Yeah, that's
recently,
a good crew, actually.
It's a great crew to have. It's a great crew to hang out with.
You guys make beer and you guys talk about food and just definitely are probably the pairing kings of Taipei, though, I feel.
I don't know about the pairing kings, but we definitely have a good time.
All right.
Maybe less, not as sober as we should be. And then on the brewing side, absolutely, our brewmaster is she is phenomenal and has just given me so much knowledge.
How long has she worked with you guys? Since the start, or?
She joined us in 2015, or very early 2015.
Wow. And so, I mean, your beer is amazing. So what was her background?
She is the only commercially trained craft brewer in Taiwan. So
kudos
she,
to that. Yeah,
and one of the first. Wow. So she used to work in the F&B space, and then 10 years ago was approached by Gordon Biersch when they wanted to open in Taipei. And they were trying to build a brewing team. And so they approached her and asked her if she wanted to learn to become a brewer. So she accepted and went to the States for 6 months for their training program. Did that, went through that, was a huge hit there. A bunch of people still contact us out of the States because of that. And then she came back out to Taiwan, was with Gordon Biersch for quite a while. Then she went to another local craft brewery. And they actually sent her to VLB, which is a prestigious brewing institute in Germany.
Okay.
Where she got her master's in brewing.
Wow.
And then she came back, worked for them for a while longer. And then we were introduced, and our approach to brewing is very aggressive. So we're highly experimental. We really want to play with boundaries of possibilities in the space. So that, I think, really aligned with where she wanted to take her career, which is why she joined us.
That's great. Well, I think that's what you need to do as a new brewery here in Taipei and in Taiwan, especially in Asia. There's so many different flavors to play with. There's no classical way to do things, right? I mean, it's kind of like a clean canvas. You can do anything you want. And if you're not going to experiment, you're going to miss out on the most interesting years out in Asia to make great beer. So definitely something you guys are doing really well.
It's a lot of fun.
In 3 years, you guys have done a lot, though.
We're very lucky. It's as one of the first movers in the space. Mm-hmm. We've had tremendous support from the community. There's a really impressive local craft beer scene. The craft beer club on Facebook for Taiwan is, I think, now 18,000 people strong.
No way.
And so they really support you, and they've supported us, and we've definitely leaned on them to be able to move at the speed we've been able to. Yeah.
So tell me about the actual craft beer movement here in Taipei. What's going on, and when did it really start booming?
So the craft beer movement really got going when brewing was demonopolized.
Yeah.
Right. So that happened about, what is it, 15 years ago?
2002.
Yeah. 15 years ago now. And after that, two breweries really came on the scene, which are North Taiwan Brewing and Labrador, Jin Si San Mai. Those two have been trailblazers. I think a lot of credit goes to what those two breweries have done to build the awareness of something other than macro lagers in Taiwan. It's really gotten going right around 2014, 2015, so just these past 2 years or so.
Before that, I think it's always like that. There's always one or two key players in the market that like kind of trying to do things. No one's really accepting it. It's taking a while. And then you're really saying in the last 2 years, that's where people are now getting really interested into the scene.
Right.
And what about flavors? I know I cut you when you were talking about sesame porter, no?
Yes.
And then now I'm also thinking, what about fruits? Because Taiwan, I mean, has a great climate to grow fruit. Have you ever experimented with fruits out in Taipei or out in Taiwan to
make
beer?
Yes.
What have you guys tried?
That's a big part of what we're doing. So we cycle through fruits seasonally. The kumquat's a big one for us. So that has been a major fruit beer that is an important part of our portfolio. It's a great bridge beer for people. It's a great introductory beer as well. I drink it a lot.
So not just introductory. It's
strange. There's definitely a progression of flavor profiles that craft beer drinkers go through.
Yeah.
There's Vinny from Russian River in the States came up with this, and it's the lupulin progression. So you begin in the Belgian wheats or the Hefeweizens, and then slowly move into pale ales, and then you get into your IPAs, and you get into a little bit more aggressive stouts, porters, and then the experimental stuff like sours or barrel aged. But at a certain point, you cycle all the way back.
That's just like in wine, though. It's exactly the same thing in wine, where you probably start off with like a light, you know, 8% Riesling, and then you move into different things. And at the end, you actually realize those are the best wines because you can pair it with food. It's easy drinking. It's not complicated. I mean, they're fantastic wines anyways, but just similar a little bit to beer and wine. There's a lot of similarities in that. That's great.
Yeah. And then so back to your question about flavor profiles and local ingredients that we experiment with. It's really anything that comes our way. The important parts for us about being Taiwanese and being a Taiwanese brewery is to cooperate with local Taiwanese suppliers. The pineapple farming scene in Taiwan is fantastic. So we get really high quality pineapples. That's been something that has been a lot of fun to play with. There's everything from grapes, which are interesting. We can use them in sours. It's really all over the map.
Really,
and it's something that we will continue to experiment with as we grow and as we expand and as we broaden our portfolio.
So something I was really interested with you guys is actually your sour beer. I find it really hard to find great sour beers, you know, made locally, even in China or even in Taipei. But I know we were out in San Francisco, and they've got an interesting kind of movement out there for sour beers. And I'm so excited that it's coming back to the scene. But you guys are really doing an awesome job. It's not an easy job to do, though. So is that something that's working? Or am I the only one who's really excited about sour beers in China and Asia?
So something that's really surprised us, the willingness and the acceptance from the broader market of the sour beers that we brew. To clarify, there are kind of two major categories of sour beers.
Yeah.
Right? So we're either kettle souring or we are barrel aging and traditional souring. The majority of the sours that are locally produced are kettle soured because nobody has been playing with sours for long enough to have really good barrel-aged sours, right? We have some in the barrels right now, but it's going to be a while. And so the response to the kettle sours has been very, very positive, especially, mm-hmm. So again, going back to the flavor profiles, we try and blend a lot of nostalgia into our beers. So mm-hmm. the black sesame beer is the tangyuan, which you eat a lot as a child. The goza that one of the gozas that we brew is made with that sun pea, which is the salted candied orange peel that is added to the beer. So that gives it a little bit of additional tartness and a kind of a citrusy twist, which is complements the salt and the coriander. It's great, but we do play with that, and the industry has loved it. The community has loved that beer in particular. So we're very happy that you like it as well.
Yeah. Great. I'm not the only one. I feel good about that now. So tell me a little bit now. You guys have been doing this for over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And you say that you're really focused in representing Taiwanese beer. Hence your name, of course. Because from what I read, Taiwan for Thai and yes. Tiger for Hu. So yes. Tai Hu, right? Yes. Okay, got that one down. But also, you know, are you thinking, if you were to model this out, if you were to, let's say, start a brewery in Seoul or Shanghai or Beijing, because those are just as interesting, would you prefer taking your beer from Taihu here in Taiwan and then just, you know, shipping it over? Or would you create an entirely new brand, still Taihu, but flavors of Shanghai, flavors of Beijing? Like, what's your, this is something that's completely probably not even in your scope, but just kind of wondering, because it's such an interesting concept. Or is it? Or am I ahead of the curve again?
you're getting there. One of the founding premises of the company was, why did we choose Taiwan, right? That's a big question we get asked all the time. And the reason we chose Taiwan is quite simple. We love Taiwan. We think it's a fantastic place to live. The culture is amazing. The people are hospitable. It's a beautiful blend of regional cultures. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be here. We love it. We're very proud of this country. Part of that pride extends to our brand. So we want to create an international premium product that can compete on an international stage in the craft beer market. And we would like to place it in Europe, in China, in Japan, in the US, in the West Coast, and have people drink it and recognize Taiwan for something other than, say, Foxconn or, you know, assembling iPhones or trinkets that you used to get as a kid for Christmas. Have people say, wow, this is something that's creative and compelling and is representative of what young Taiwanese creatives are capable of.
And so that's something that I really believe in, even for China. And I think that anywhere in Asia, that's something that anyone who's a foodie, anyone making beer, anyone making wine needs to start thinking about is growing it out of just one region. And I think Cavalan's a good example of that, of a brand that I think for 5 years ago, no one out of Taiwan or even, out of Taiwan was really talking about it. And then they won a medal and everyone's talking about it in London, in San Francisco, in New York. People are talking about Cavalan whiskey, which is Taiwanese. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a great exposure to the fact that Taiwan has great beverages and that it's just starting. And I think that you guys might hopefully be the next ones to be the next Kavalainen beer, you know, representing Taiwan. And that's something I think really important for the growth of the beer industry and also quality of beer industry in Taiwan.
What we try to, we kind of view our brand identity and narrative in two ways. One is the external reflection, one is the internal reflection. So the external reflection would be how the world perceives Taiwan through our product. Right? Yeah. The internal one is how our brand contract with our customers. What drinking a Taihu beer represents for you.
So what does it represent for you then, drinking a Taihu beer?
Well, our I don't know if this is actually how people feel, but
at least that's how I feel.
You know, this ties back to the idea that we are very proud of Taiwan and we think that there's a lot of potential. A lot of potential in the people. You know, it's a very well-educated populace that is very creative. And you're seeing that. There's this young generation that's coming forward and is really propelling a lot of Taiwan's domestic economy through entrepreneurialism. And so what we project is this idea that, you know, traditionally, if you're a young professional, let's say you're mid-20s and Taiwanese, you might have a fairly bleak outlook on your future, right? Because the majority of the society is dictated by, you know, a number of large institutions, and your career track is very fixed, and it can be stifling. You are defined by a lot of default settings, whether that's social or whether that's societal or economic or whatnot. You're kind of trapped in this space. And it can be hard to break out of. Mm. So for us, what we view our product as is a window into a different you, into a different life, into a space where you can be adventurous and creative and free to pursue what is important to you. So we hope that, you know, when you have our beer, it's an opportunity to, you have great conversations with the people that you're around. It's an opportunity to laugh more, to love more, to create more, to live more. So that's what we hope that our drinker's identity is.
Yeah, I hope. Every time I grab one of your beers, that's all I think about. It's probably going to resonate first with people that are, let's say, have a heritage of being Taiwanese, or even that lived in Taiwan for a short amount of time, went back to, let's say, London or San Francisco, and then feel that, oh, okay, this is something that's interesting. And I know Taiwan has a great food scene, so why not try their beer scene? And then I think it's going to start from there, and then it might go back to kind of the people living in those cities that know nothing about Taiwan, that's never been, that have no relationship to it. Once they hear about it, they're going to start, you know, falling in love with the brand.
Part of what we're working towards.
Well, I think so far so good. Have you guys already started to export? Like, can I find it out of Asia?
Currently, no. In fact, currently, it's even tough to find within Taiwan. Our brewery that's running right now is a pilot brewery, meaning it's our small R&D facility. So every batch is only 10 hectoliters or so. And then we have another brewery that will be coming online that is much larger. And that once that comes online, then we'll really start to engage in export.
So when you say coming online, you mean like a virtual brewery that you can buy off, you can buy the beer from that?
Oh, no. It's our brewery. Yeah.
Okay, so it's your actual
physical brewery.
Okay.
When I mean coming online, I mean that it'll actually begin manufacturing and producing at some point, not too far away from now future.
All right. Yeah, because I think that there's a lot also going on with the virtual breweries or virtual wineries where they're just trying to sell. I mean, you guys actually have a tasting room. You have, you know, areas to a retail shop. So that's completely different than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But still, I think that's something that, you know, you want people to see online, because online presence is so important also.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a trend, not just in the virtual space and the e-commerce space, but also in the contract brewing space. You know, it's one of the big issues with being a craft brewer in Taiwan, especially as a startup, is that there are a lot of hurdles for you to overcome in order to get to commercial brewing scale. So a lot of breweries currently are brands that contract to other breweries. Mm-hmm. And that's because in Taipei and in Taiwan broadly, it's illegal to brew inside the city. You have to be in an industrial zone to brew, which means it's illegal to have a brew pub, which means that the intermediary step in a brewer's typical career path, where you can own a brew pub and be profitable and experimental and engage your consumer demographic, that step is eliminated, which means you are either a home brewer or you are a large-scale commercial brewer with a lot at risk, right?
Mm.
So that's something that I think is one of the largest impediments to the development of craft beer in Taiwan right now.
But of course you're going to expand, and of course, you know, hopefully it's going to grow, and that's really exciting to see what's going to happen and how Tayo's going to, you know, expand into the world and what the world's going to think about it too. I think that's kind of scary as a brand, because you're so, this is, you know, almost like your baby. And then when you're going to go present it to, you know, these big markets that have no clue what's happening in Asia, that's going to be where kind of, you know, everyone knows you in Taiwan. Everyone's kind of heard of you in Hong Kong and China. I mean, we're hearing about this, but now it's time to go test out those, you know, faraway lands and see what's, you know, what people are going to think about it.
It'll be one of the larger trials for us, for sure. We, our company culture, though, is built around a very direct and honest feedback system. So our whole principle is we try, we learn, and then we iterate and try again. Our core values is really constant improvement, constant growth. And the only way you can really do that is if you surround yourself with people that are willing to give you honest feedback. How else are you going to improve? So, you know, the more feedback we get from a sophisticated international community, I think the better it will be for us and for Taiwan craft beer generally.
That's great. So I want to wrap up, but I want to know a couple questions first. I'm going to fire some questions at you.
Sure.
First of all, what's your favorite beer from your own brewery?
So it's an unreleased beer, and it's unusual for me to say this because I'm not usually this type of beer drinker, but we have a bourbon barrel aged, a Woodford Reserve bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stout that hasn't been released yet. And it's been in the barrels for 13 months now, and that is a good beer.
When are you going to release it? I mean, how much longer are you going to wait?
It will be later this year, probably right in a couple months. Yeah.
So you're going to look
right
at maybe March. 18 months in barrel? Is that what it looks like?
Right around then.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. What's your favorite beer that you guys have that you want to pair with Taiwanese street food?
Ooh. Favorite beer to pair with Taiwanese street food. So, again, personally, I know my brewmaster has a very specific answer to this question, but for me, I would go with our Session IPA,
okay,
which is, again, more Northeast style, a little bit pulled back on the bitterness and a little bit more tropical fruit forward. And it's a very clean, very low alcohol content. And when you're at a night market, you really just are there to continue eating for like 5 hours. Right? So for me, I would like a beer that's sessionable, that won't overpower anything that I try, but will cut through the just immense
the
quantities
oil
of fat.
Also, yeah, okay. Everything deep fried. You need something that goes with everything deep fried, right?
So I'd probably use that as a palate cleanser and roll through a night market.
Awesome. Last question. How can people contact you, and how can we find out more about Taihu Brewing?
Get in touch with me. I'm Peter at Taihu Brewing. You know, you can always shoot me an email. I'm fairly responsive. If I don't, just shoot me another email. I'll eventually get back to it. And in terms of finding out more about Taihu, have a Facebook platform, so you can learn a lot about the brewery by just going out of Taihu or facebook.com/ Taihu Brewing. Instagram's there, and our website as well, www.taihubrewing.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Peter. I really appreciate it. Awesome conversation about beer. I feel like I probably need to go back tonight, though, so I'm definitely going to be there soon. And come visit us when you're back in Shanghai.